This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy until we talk again later on WRCO-FM in Richland Center. We put the wraps on our morning session and bring on the 9 o'clock news. Sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry in downtown Spring Green, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In Pontiac, Michigan, a jury today begins deliberating the case of Jennifer Crumley, accused of involuntary manslaughter in a school shooting carried out by her son, Ethan.
The defense argues Crumley was a hypervigilant mother who made some mistakes but never could have known her son was a threat. But the prosecution says she and her husband bought their son the gun used in the shooting, failed to secure it, and ignored a number of red flags with his mental health. A conviction would mark the first time in American history the parent of a school shooter was found guilty in their child's deadly attack.
ABC's Trevor Ault. The language of the highly anticipated border security bill is now out. The Senate expected to start debate on Wednesday. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he will not bring it up for a vote. President Biden vowing further retaliation following a wave of U.S. airstrikes against Iran-backed militia groups. Nonstop rain across much of California, 8 counties in states of emergency. This is ABC News. More quality control problems with Boeing. The airline maker now says it has found misdrilled holes on about 50 planes that had not been delivered yet. ABC News aviation consultant John Nance.
The one thing to keep in mind whenever something happens in aviation involving an airliner is that more than 50% of the airliners around the world are Boeing products.
Now this comes after the Alaska Airlines incident that saw a door plug blow out in the middle of a flight. The best men's soccer team on the planet will be crowned in 2026, just outside the Big Apple.
FIFA awarding the 2026 final game to MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, just over the Hudson River from Manhattan, beating out Texas and California for soccer's showcase game. The $1.6 billion stadium is home to both the New York Jets and New York Giants. The championship game will be played that summer to wrap up the expanded 48-nation, 104-game tournament that will be spread across three nations for the first time, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Mark Remillard, ABC News, New York.
Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Happy February! Valentine's Day is around the corner. Stop in and find the perfect gift for your sweetheart. A free box of chocolate with every purchase, and we wrap for free at Pamela's for your Valentine's gift in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink. The Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Just call them at 649-7469. Today's forecast calls for a high of 47, northeast winds at 4 to 7 miles per hour, partly cloudy, patchy fog tonight, a low of 29, 50 on Tuesday, Wednesday 52, continued unseasonably warm, Thursday 54 with occasional light rain showers, and Friday 45, a slight chance of a few light showers on that day as well. We were as low as 22 with some nice sunshine. Our temperature has risen to the current mark. It is 28 degrees.
At Julie Karen State Farm, we're passionate about helping neighbors at all stages of life. The new driver, the new parent, the home buyer, the cycle riders, to the captains of boats. From your first job to the retiring couple ready to enjoy their golden years, important milestones and life's unexpected events, we choose to care for the people with the need, not just the risks and needs. Our goal is to take the confusion out of finding the right coverage. Stop by our office in Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Avoca and Rural Fire Department invites you to spend some time on the ice at the 44th Annual Fishery, Saturday, February 10th, featuring a euchre tournament at noon, meat paddles, a huge raffle, and a large live auction. It's a special day benefiting the Avoca Fire Department. Fishery participants may register starting at 6 a.m. A food stand will be open all day. The grand prize, $3,000 cash prize. Other contributing sponsors include Whiskey Row, the Don Meese family, and the Honor Company. Avoca and Rural Fire Department look forward to seeing you on Saturday, February 10th in Avoca.
Hello, this is Added Touch Floral on Main Street. Let us help make your Valentine's special this year with a beautifully arranged bouquet by Ashley and Samantha. We also have candy bouquets, stuffed animals, a large selection of wines, balloons, and candles. Give us a call at 647-2319 or order directly on our website at addedtouchfloral.com. Don't be that guy who forgot Valentine's Day and order early to enter our $250 giveaway to Open Season, JJ Walsh, or Added Touch Floral. Check our Facebook page. We look forward to making this day special for your Valentine.
Get ready to light up the sky this 4th of July with Sky Ink Pyro's Tax Return Presale. They're offering incredible deals at all consumer-grade fireworks. Pre-order now and get a 10% discount. This is a veteran-owned business. Secure your stash now, and they'll store your fireworks until the last week of June. It's the perfect way to turn your tax return into a dazzling display of celebration. Call or text 870-214-8247 to pre-order and snag the best deals on fireworks. Plus, for an extra splash of excitement, they're offering private shows. Make this 4th of July unforgettable with Sky Ink Pyro, where the celebration begins with a bang. Call or text 870-214-8247 now to light up your Independence Day. On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, we're pleased to have in the studio a good friend of WRCO, Brady Ewing, former Hornet, Badger, Falcon. Did I miss anybody?
Jaguars.
And the Richland Raiders.
The Richland Raiders, that's right. Yeah, short stint with the Jaguars.
Yeah, you did. Short stint there. But good to have you along. We had you a year ago, too, during this Super Bowl week.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning when I was showering. It's been a quick year to, you know, come full circle the week before the Super Bowl and have the chance to connect. So thanks for asking me. Excited to chat with you this morning.
Good to have you in here. So in the meantime, you've kind of settled back in Richland Center after living away. And are you happy to have your wife and boys back in town?
Love it. Yeah, be close to family, to be in a community. I think we talked about it last time, but be in a community where, you know, Rachel and I grew up, have the chance to raise our boys, get them involved in sports. You see familiar and similar faces across all the different sports the kids take part in. And just been an absolute joy to be back in the community, reconnect with people, and, you know, start laying our roots and our foundation as a family. So it's awesome.
We saw you as an assistant coach on the sideline for the football team this year. That had to be fun.
That's right. First year, and had a blast. Coached running backs and learned the system with the football team and got to develop some relationships with the kids, and excited about where the program's going. I think we're headed the right direction. Just this morning was in the weight room, you know, 6:15 this morning, and there's, I think, 11 or 12 guys there. So multi-sport athletes that are in working out in the morning, starting to build for, you know, their current sport, athleticism in general, but also football here this fall. So it's exciting to see that. And, you know, the kids are invested, which is awesome.
And do you work out yourself, or are you just kind of chaperone in the weight room?
It's evolved. Yeah, I would work out with the guys when I first started. You know, we've been doing some different things and some different exercises, so been coaching more. So we try to be done 7:15, 7:20, and then I usually try to get a quick 20-30 minutes in if I'm working from home that day, and can get home, you know, 7:50, 7:55 to get my day going. So yeah, it ebbs and flows, but I like staying active, you know, 3-4 days a week.
Indeed. You said something there a little earlier about multi-sport athletes, and that's something that obviously you were and a lot were in your era. We're seeing a little bit less and less of that these days, Brady.
Yeah, there's a ton of specialization going on, and I think there's a ton of value being a multi-sport athlete. Even talking to Hank here when I got into the station this morning, we were talking, I think he's from Arkansas, and we were talking about how, you know, down there football is, you know, the tried and true. Guys will only play football. They'll do spring ball in the off season. And I think that's really cool in some respects. It's almost like a small college program, but I still see a ton of value in diversifying what you're playing, developing your athleticism in different ways, and not getting, you know, certain repetitive type injuries that can come from focusing on one specific area. And when I was with Wisconsin as an assistant strength coach, that's something they actually valued, was seeing guys that played multiple sports and maybe didn't have as much time to invest in the weight room, but they were still very, very competitive on the field and had, you know, the raw talent and the work ethic and all that. But they thought once they did specialize, once they get to college and spend time in the weight room, spend time only focusing on football and developing their craft, that, you know, the sky was the limits because they had that diversity in their background and they hadn't, you know, solely focused on football in this example, as their one sport. So love multi-sport athletes, and it's just fun. I mean, I played basketball last night, didn't make the scorecard you'll show later, but going out and playing basketball, if I can get my knees going, it is, you know, you feel like a kid again. I do anyway, and absolutely love it. You know, the guys you're playing with, guys you're playing against, it's fun to compete. So multi-sport athletes, I love it. I encourage everybody out there to do that.
And, you know, over the years, and you were with a lot of pro athletes, I'm sure, that were the stars of their teams, you know, in other sports and things like that. But you go back to Michael Jordan, whose favorite sport growing up was supposedly baseball. I mean, it's interesting to see. And, you know, and as you mentioned, not using the same muscle group, the, you know, the same impact on the body. You know, I think sometimes the body needs a rest, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, that was something, you know, the late Sharon Pansky, you know, awesome pillar in the community, was always harping on me for, was, okay, yeah, you're multi-sport athlete, that's awesome, but take a little bit of time in between your seasons to let your body decompress, you know, even if it's just a week, 2 weeks, while still staying active, take a little bit of time. But that's, even you look at Bryce Young down with the Texans, the quarterback. If you've seen on social media, there's, you know, videos of him doing his pregame warm-up. I mean, he's throwing baseballs. He's shooting basketballs. He's obviously throwing footballs. But he's doing all of these different sports that work your body in a different way and work your hips in a different way when you're swinging a bat versus throwing a football. It's a similar movement, but it just builds that coordination, that athleticism a little bit more. So love it.
Now, Super Bowl week, you never got a chance to be around a Super Bowl, but you were in an NFC championship game, weren't you?
That's right. Yeah, the playoffs are fun to watch. I did have a chance to go to a Super Bowl, and my last year with the Jaguars, I ended up, as a player, you can buy Super Bowl tickets. You can get two of them, every player on an active roster throughout the NFL. And so I kind of sensed my time in the NFL was coming to an end with some of the injuries I had and things like that. So I wanted to take advantage of, you know, the opportunity while I was able to get tickets. And so I was able to get one from one of my teammates, and my dad, Brandon, and I went down to Arizona and watched Seattle and the Patriots play. And so that was a awesome experience to take it in, see the atmosphere, watch the halftime show, Katy Perry, and just a ton of energy. But man, I think it really gives you perspective on how cool it is to watch on TV, to see the replays, and watch the halftime show and the commercials. I like commercials too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, an awesome experience and something I was thankful to be able to do with my dad and my brother.
In the NFC championship game, you were with the Falcons at the time. So what we see on TV, we see it. It's very intense what we see watching in our living rooms, but I'm guessing in person it's even more so, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's the regular season is long. You know, you got, at the time I was playing, 4 preseason games. I think it was 16 at the time. Now they've lengthened the regular season, but that's kind of a grind for those guys physically, and especially as you get to those last 4 or 5 games of the season. But when the playoffs hit, the intensity rises so much. And we talked about it a little bit before the broadcast, but you see it on TV now, and Brandon and I were actually texting about it here earlier in the playoff run when the Packers were still in. It is noticeable. And in person, man, seeing the intensity in guys' eyes, the focus pregame is just ratcheted up a little bit more. And throughout the week of preparation, you know, guys tend to lock in. I would like to think you can sustain that through the whole season, but it is such a long season, so you naturally kind of have some ebbs and flows, some roller coastering of how your body's feeling, how you're mentally doing, and but everybody seems to turn it on when the playoffs start.
That's a long stretch, and I used to think about the commercial that Donald Driver did of PSA about seatbelts.
Oh yeah, the car accident.
When you get hit, it's like getting hit by a car going 35 miles an hour. You experienced that a few times. Is it like? I mean, you've probably not been hit by a car to really know to compare.
Yeah, I don't have direct comparison there. That's for sure.
But it has to be quite the jolt.
It is, and from my experience, it's the ones that. You know, you're maybe on your heels or not delivering the blow, or you're not seeing that hit coming, that will really get you, whether it's, you know, the head trauma that could come from that, or, you know, just being hit unexpected where you're not bracing your body. You know, thankfully, a lot of my hits are as a fullback. You know, I'm leading up on the weak side linebacker, and I know where that's my guy that I'm targeting. So I'm able to brace myself. I'm able to be the hammer, not the nail, as the cliche goes, and deliver that blow and be able to run my feet. So maybe I delivered some car collisions through the years, but I definitely was on the receiving end too. But it is. And you know, you feel the wear and tear through the years, especially as I get a little bit older. You know, there's certain parts of my body, knees, you know, neck, that I guess I kind of paying for some of those hits through the years. But overall, awesome experience, you know, through all my playing years, college, high school, professionally, and yeah, super, super thankful for those experiences.
Probably some of the hardest hits too were in practice. You know, I remember a story about you when you were a freshman at Wisconsin, and I remember hearing it or reading it that it was a practice day, and I think somebody must have nailed you pretty good, and you got right back up, and that kind of impressed the coaching staff. It kind of led you on a pretty good path with the Badgers.
Honestly, I've found more and more, especially if I've gotten removed from sports, it's more about the mindset and the mentality. In that specific example, I think I dislocated my finger. I either caught a ball or was running the ball, got hit. We were just doing thud, finger dislocated, fell down. And as running backs at the time, Coach Settle always wanted you to finish down the field. If we were on, you know, the 40-yard line, he wanted you to finish 40 more yards down the field. So if you get tagged off or thudded, he still wanted you to finish, both for conditioning early in the season, but also just to get in the mindset, okay, if I make contact with a guy, it doesn't mean I have to go down. I don't stop there. I'm pushing through and, you know, sprinting out, working on ball security, all that stuff. So in that example, I think I dislocated my finger, fell down, and finished through the drill, and then went over, saw the trainers, got my finger put back in, and got going. But to kind of come full circle there, it's really about a mindset, a mentality of I'm going to finish – at all costs, I'm going to, you know, continue to grind through and be physical. And I think that helps you on game day. Honestly, some of the practices we had at Wisconsin going against our scout team were tougher than the game. Maybe that was the adrenaline. Maybe that was, you know, 60,000 people watching, whatever it may be. But going against our scout team, an inside drill where it's just tight ends, O-lines, fullback, running back, you know, running run play after run play after run play, it honestly made the game seem easy. And both on the people we were blocking, but also the way a lot of times they'd throw an extra guy in the box. So if you got typically four down linemen at the time and three linebackers, we'd actually bring a safety up. And so we had to figure out how to identify the mic, get to your blocking responsibility. And then that safety was either a free hitter that was able to be picked up by somebody, or the running back had to make that person miss. So when we had receivers out there in a game, it made, you know, all of those practice and all those reps and all that adversity in practice really paid off on Saturdays.
Crazy. I talked to somebody one time who had been in the military and also had played in college, and they said, you know, you always hear about boot camp and, you know, how hard right. that is, but they were saying that it was probably harder in the, you know, college game and practice than it was
really?
In boot camp. I don't know. I mean, I guess that was their opinion, but.
Yeah, that's you look at the top tier of athletes, there's incredible amount of respect for all of our service members. And honestly, they really, you know, and I do too, but really look up to those folks that are, you know, doing boot camps, doing some of those special operations things, because it is somewhat, it there's no parallel to that. That's, you know, the ultimate sacrifice to do that. But it's, there's a lot of parallels as far as the discipline, the mental toughness, the physicality of it. You know, when you compare that to college athletics and all that you have to do to be prepared to compete on Saturdays and football in this example.
One of the things too I think about is, you know, there's a stereotype of the, oh, you know, sometimes an athlete, you know, that maybe they're not as good in the classroom or maybe not as bright or whatever, but I think about how smart the quarterbacks especially have to be and everything they have to know, Brady. It's incredible.
Oh, it is crazy. And to see the ones that come in right away and are able to compete, learn the offense. I think of Russell Wilson, you know, everyone's probably heard that name. But the way he came in as a graduate transfer, learned Coach Chris's system, gained the respect of all the players. He was only there for 1 year, came in the summer before, gained the respect of all the players, and really commanded that huddle. It was pretty impressive because, granted, he wasn't a freshman coming from the high school transition. He had some college experience, but that is a tough thing to learn, to even spit out the verbiage of some of these play calls, the shifts, the motions, the play call. It's a lot to do that, but then to know, okay, I need to read the defense. If it's a too high safety, I'm looking at this side of the pass concept. If it's a one high, I'm looking at this side. Just a lot for those guys to process, and it takes, you know, you look at the quarterbacks that have been successful in the NFL, a lot of times it's those ones that don't feel like they have to be thrown into the fire right away and learn, because that's a big enough transition as it is from a physical standpoint from college to pros. But to be able to do that and still read defenses with that speed, takes some time to adjust.
We saw that with Jordan Love this year and his improvement, but sitting behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years and kind of picking it up, I think that meant a lot, didn't it?
It helps. You know, the Packers have kind of figured that out, and they've been fortunate. You look at some of the programs in the NFL that have had quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, coaching staff after coaching staff. You know, the Packers would be the other end of the spectrum there. So to see how they've, you know, went from Favre to Rodgers and ease that transition, and then from Rodgers to Love, is, I'd say there's probably a lot of franchises in the NFL that wish they had that luxury. And it not only gives those people a chance to learn from that, you know, Hall of Famer between Rodgers and Favre, but also just give a little bit more time to adjust to the NFL and hit the ground running once they do get that opportunity.
The atmosphere in a college or NFL locker room, it must be, I mean, you got people from all walks of life basically on the team, mm-hmm. all for the same goal. And I guess it's how well you all adjust and kind of, you know, get to that one vision. That's probably the big thing, isn't it?
It is. And I see that playing out more and more in college athletics. Pro, it happens as well, but in college sports now with the transfer portal and, you know, coaching staff transitions and bringing guys in from different programs all throughout the country, not only taking into account their background, their family background, where they're from, their belief system, and, you know, the experiences they've had, but then you take those guys and put them into a program, say, you know, Arkansas, you know, talking to Hank, that's front of mind right now. You know, put them into a program at Arkansas. They're there for a year or two. All of a sudden they transfer into a new program. So they're taking that foundation that they have personally, an experience they've had at Arkansas or wherever. And now, okay, I'm going to throw them into a new system at Wisconsin with Coach Fickell. It takes a while to, you know, settle into those new norms. You know, what are the cultural expectations as far as class? You know, are we going to class? Are we on time? Do we have class checkers in the weight room, in social life, on the football field? There's all sorts of things that these college players and NFL players deal with that are outside of the game that will have impact on their game and the team. And so it's I don't envy those coaches that are, you know, recruiting and bringing guys in on the transfer portal right now in the college scheme, but you'll see it in NFL too. It's no year is the same. I think Dan Campbell said it after they lost to not have the chance to go to the Super Bowl. He's like, we may never get this opportunity again. And as brash and, you know, basic as that sounds, it's like, that's the truth, because there will be, I mean, that team will be so different next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's laying the cultural, you know, norms to hopefully sustain success. But you just never know. And Coach Chris used to say the same thing. He's like, this is the last opportunity or the last couple opportunities as you're leading on the home stretch of a season that this team, this coaching staff, you know, these set of players, these, you know, weight room staff, because it's all a part of the picture with, as you're developing athletes and student athletes.
Certainly a different time in college football, Brady, too, because you mentioned the transfer portal and how that's changed. And I heard from a coach, I read somewhere where he was talking about you have to recruit a player about three times or four times, because not only are you recruiting them out of high school, but you're recruiting them to stay lots of times. And maybe they didn't get adequate playing time their first year, so I'm out of here. I mean, it's a lot different than just a few years ago, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, you look at Wisconsin historically has been a developmental program where you know you're going to have guys 3, 4, 5 years because of the type of player you bring in and the depth you have across your team. And it is, you do have to constantly recruit, and it's just, you know, looking from the outside, and it's got to be exhausting for those coaches. And also, it seems what kids are valuing is different too. You know, there's a lot more of the social media playing into things, and you know, the NIL stuff, name, image, likeness, and money associated with some of these big recruits. So there's a lot on both, you know, the coaching staffs and the recruiting staff's plate, but also the players' plate to adjust from, you know, what they're used to, their family background, coming into a university, and you know, learn if they are in the name, image, likeness stuff, learning how to handle money and contracts and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see where things go over the next couple years. It's definitely feels like the Wild West to me right now, you know, with all the coaching changes, all the transfer portals, but excited to see where it goes.
Name, image, and likeness. You know, when you were playing, you might have been able to cash in a little bit on that when you were in college, you know, right?
I don't know about that. I do know Wisconsin, for instance, I think is doing as much as they can to support all sports to try to, you know, bring some incentive that way. So maybe a little bit as a pullback, but you never know.
The scary thing is, we've talked about it, that it might come down to the high school level someday. It wouldn't surprise me, and that could change the whole high school aspect too, couldn't it?
It could. And then you look at, you know, certain brands or certain collectives at these schools that may, you know, attach themselves to high school athletes early as a way to, you know, funnel kids into certain universities. So I imagine in some respect it'll continue to get earlier and earlier, and it'll be just interesting to see what guardrails they put on it, both at the college level and how that may trickle down to the high school level. I would think it's only a matter of time, but be interesting to watch.
We'll see. And you're raising three boys that will be
four.
In the did I say three? Four. Yeah. Four.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll see. They right now they're doing all sorts of sports. So everything from baseball to, you know, flag football to soccer, doing wrestling, basketball. So they're loving it, and super fortunate we can give them the opportunity. I try to coach them as much as I can. And it's fun. Like I said earlier, it's fun to see consistent kids, consistent faces that are involved, be around those families. And exciting stuff for up and coming Hornets. So
whatever they come to you and they say, you know, Dad, I want to do whatever. You were in dance even, you know.
I was a dancer, yeah.
You were a Betty Hayes dancer, I think.
Fifth or sixth grade. So, yeah, whatever.
Whatever, right?
Yeah, you know how it is. It's you want your kids to pursue what they're passionate about, or at least I do. And Rachel, I know we're on the same page there. And, you know, they've been doing wrestling. I was played a lot of basketball growing up. I wrestled too, but played a lot more basketball, and it's fun to watch them wrestle, for instance. I get some grief from some of the different coaches from the basketball side of things, and vice versa when the kids are playing basketball. Some of the wrestling coaches are giving us grief. But you want your kids to pursue their passions. You want them to have fun. I mean, at the end of the day, being active, having fun, learning how to channel hard work, work ethic, dealing with adversity, that's what sport is all about to me. And at the end of the day, it's fun. And so trying to keep them focused on those basics. And my dad and I have been coaching a lot together. And our two goals for these, you know, young kids as we get them going is work hard and have fun. So trying to keep my kids focused on that too. It's not always perfect, but they have for the most part, having a blast doing a bunch of different stuff. So they're keeping us busy.
I remember Coach Kukinik was always trying to recruit you to the Richland Center wrestling team. He was never successful, though.
He wasn't, not at the high school level anyway, but yes. And even when I see him now, he still brings that up to me. So good memories. There's always some good tension between, the wrestling team, the basketball team at the high school level for kids that did that growing up. And Coach Kukinik was always good for that.
Fun stuff. We'll be back with more. Brady is getting into some speaking with some area high schools. We want to talk about that and some of the things you talk about there. And also just talking to the local community and having some fun. And also the Super Bowl is this coming weekend. In fact, Brady, the Super Bowl versus Valentine's Day. Americans prefer the Super Bowl to Valentine's Day 45% to 38%. How about that? Is that how it is with you and Rachel? You said
we've been pretty low key as far as gifts and celebrating stuff like that. But back in the high school days when we were dating, Valentine's Day was always a big day for us. So
that was a big thing.
That's
yeah.
Right. It's right there with the Super Bowl.
Right. This year, Rachel, I'm not getting you anything because it's Super Bowl day.
That's right.
You know, maybe buy some extra snacks or something.
That's right.
More coming up here on The Morning Show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul at the Prescription Center, providing an update on our move to Sextonville Road. Chris and I wish to thank all who have offered to help with the move. Vitesnics and contractors have worked many long, hard hours to turn an empty space into an exceptional location for a pharmacy within 45 days. We thank them for their effort. We will be moving Friday, February 9th through 11th. The pharmacy will be closed on Friday the 9th. Phones will be switched to the new location during the day on Friday, and messages may be lost. Please do not call on the 9th. As we move the computers, we will not have access to your records until Monday the 12th. No one may pick up prescriptions from the 9th to the 11th. We are humbled by the support and planning for minimal downtime. We will keep the same phone number, exceptional service, just a new spot.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Wiscode is a local, family-oriented company based in Lone Rock, Wisconsin, ready to serve your family or business with the service that defines the Wiscode mission, where quality and honesty meet. Wiscode is a one-stop solution for driveways long or short and parking lots large or small. Estimates are always free. Now is the time to call 1-800-BLACKTOP so you're on the schedule for next spring. That's 1-800-BLACKTOP. Wiscode cares as much about your asphalt and everything around it as you do. 1-800-BLACKTOP. It's the right call right now.
How would you define personalization from an ag lender? It starts with a trusted advisor, asking the right questions to determine which term loan or lease matches your operation and cash flow needs. You'll find that level of service from Compure Financial because we're defined by you. For ag lending and other financial needs, contact your local Compure Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compure.com. Compure Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Agra America features the largest collection of agricultural podcasts, including popular titles such as...
Hi, this is Rob Sharkey, a fifth-generation farmer from Illinois. If you want to hear stories about agriculture, make sure you tune in to Shark Farmer Podcast today on Agra America.
Hi, I'm Darren Hefty. Head over to Agra America's podcast directory for the latest episode of the Ag PhD radio show.
Visit Agra America's podcast directory at agraamerica.com/podcasts. agraamerica.com/podcasts.
On a morning show from WRCO, Brady Ewing is in the house here today. Good to have him in here. It's good to have two great athletes just sitting across the table from one another.
Reminiscing.
Well, one anyway. But good to have you in here today. You've been making some plans to do some series at some high schools in the area. I think you've worked with Wisconsin Dells, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the things that you focus on, Brady.
Yeah, in process with Wisconsin Dells, but kind of what I mentioned earlier, focusing on the experiences I've had from high school transitioning to college, college dealing with injuries, adversity, but also successes and continuing to chase your dreams and your passions and having the chance to, play professional football and some of the challenges that have come there. And the things I've learned not only myself, but also from watching other incredibly successful people, and trying to deduce down what are some of the common threads that I've learned or seen in other people that have been successful. And how can I take that message and the things I've experienced and share that with, you know, the youth, where I'm incredibly passionate about helping. And whether that's in the weight room, or that's through speaking venues, coaching, you know, whatever it may be. And this is just another opportunity to bring that full circle, share some of my experiences, and hopefully it can help others pursue their dreams, you know, pursue their passions while facing adversity and continuing to persevere.
Have kids changed? Because people always say that, oh, you know, kids are different than they used to be. But I think that it's still there, right? You just have to harness it and kind of bring it out of them.
Yeah, it's, I guess this is all, I mean, you know, I'm dealing with my kids and then coaching. It's, I look at it, you know, even coaching high school football, you have to coach the individual. You have to know what makes them tick, what's their background, what are they passionate about, and how can I best communicate to them to get, if I want them to execute a play this way, you know, how can I best communicate them to make that happen? You know, I've had coaches in the past that, you know, it's their way or the highway. You know, they're coaching you this way. They're yelling, screaming, and kind of taking that approach. I never responded well to that. So I think that's shaped the way I try to lead kids or student athletes, both in sharing my story, but also in coaching. It's looking at the individual, seeing what they care about, seeing where they come from, and meeting them in that spot. Now, there's certain non-negotiables across the board, but meeting them where they are to help them be the best they can be. That's honestly part of the fun of it, is not only getting to know, having that relationship, but, you know, understanding what makes young student athletes tick is really cool.
The odds that that you here in Richland Center would have made it to the Badgers, first of all, and then to the NFL, I mean, those odds are pretty slim for anybody to get to that level, Brady.
Yeah, it's it was always a dream of mine. And to, you know, have that dream and kind of that thing that you're looking out towards of, you know, I always looked up to the Badgers. I always watched them growing up, listened to Matt LePay. And, you know, as I started to, you know, get a little recruited a little bit more, you start, you know, it's, that dream starts becoming a reality. And so, you know, early on in my high school career, I thought it would be basketball. I was chasing basketball, loved basketball. But kind of that freshman to sophomore to junior year, started focusing more of that recruiting attention on football. And yeah, super thankful for the opportunity. Had a few scholarship offers, and but decided to walk on at Wisconsin. And Coach Bielema gave me that opportunity. And for me, it was just about being a part of it and having the chance to go compete and see where it took me. And so thankfully, you know, looking back, it was just a tremendous experience. Met some awesome people, coaches, players, you know, people that support the program. Met some amazing people, lived out a dream, and learned a ton about myself and athletics in the process of, you know, chasing those goals and working to try to achieve those day in and day out. And it was just a blast.
Yeah, indeed. You know, a lot of people set out, and I guess I compare it because I follow music and sports and things like that. Music's kind of the same way. You'll see somebody playing, you're like, they're outstanding. They're better than somebody that's famous, that's number one. And it's kind of the same thing with athletics. Sometimes you see somebody and you're like, wow, how are they not at the next level, you know? And sometimes a little luck is involved too, isn't it?
There is. And, you know, I talk to, you know, parents about this a lot now. When I was in high school, Huddle was just starting as I transitioned out of high school, coming onto the scene. So Huddle's a platform where you can house your film, both from games, practice. But with that, the college recruiters or other people can have access to watch games basically real time. And so that was just coming on the scene as I was transitioning from high school to college. And so when I was trying to get recruited, it was, you know, going to camps was so important. So you're actually getting on the campus, you're being physically there and having the coaching staff or the recruiting staff watch you. But also I was, you know, burning DVDs and sending those out in the mail, both for basketball and football, to a lot of different schools. And so, you know, Wisconsin historically has been, I would say, under-recruited, at least back when I was in high school and maybe the years following. Now there's certain schools that have, you know, found those folks that have been under-recruited because we don't have an incredibly dense population in Wisconsin, or for certain sports, you know, maybe people think Wisconsin doesn't have the best football as you look compared nationally. I would disagree with that, but yeah, so it's you know, there's certain schools, North Dakota, South Dakota, and some schools that have had a lot of success at that, you know, lower D1 tier level, have really attached on to Wisconsin as recruiting bays. And now there's other schools coming in and really competing with the University of Wisconsin-Madison on some of the top-tier talent in the state. So I think people are finding that, you know, maybe it's not as dense as, you know, Texas or Florida as far as some of those top-tier talent, but there's a lot of talent and depth here. And you see that in our D3 programs throughout the state. We don't have, I'm speaking football specifically, but we don't have any D2 football programs in the state. But you look at Oshkosh, Whitewater, and others, you know, compete across the country with some of the top talent.
It's interesting too when you're watching football and you'll watch the starting lineups and, you know, they'll say where somebody is from and you're thinking, oh, okay. And Wisconsin does show up quite a bit, not just UW-Madison, but people that were born in the state are playing in the NFL.
They are. I mean, you can look at every team and there's usually somebody from either Wisconsin on the coaching staff or has ties to Wisconsin players or another school within the state. So it's really cool to see. And kind of like what you said earlier, to watch all where they bring all of these people in, like that's those guys at the NFL level. That's their job, is to find talent, right? So there might not be a guy that's even on the D1 level or D2, D3 level that if he can play football, they're going to find him, and he's going to get an opportunity to either, you know, go in the summer OTA program for rookie mini camps or get a chance to make a team. And There is some politics. If a team drafts somebody, usually they'll get the benefit of the doubt to continue to compete and get multiple years to figure that out. But if a guy comes in, he's undrafted free agent, you look at Chris Maragos and others, if you can compete and you can bring intangibles to the table, there's going to be an opportunity there at that level.
Well, let me ask you about the whole air raid offense and everything. Yeah. At UW, it's changed a little bit since you were there, and the whole focus. You know, I always thought about, you know, the big lineman and you at fullback, and, you know, just kind of concentrate on the run. I guess as an alumnus, what was your opinion of this last year with the Badgers?
It was fun to watch their progression. I think they got better and better, and that bowl game, I think, you know, gave us a glimpse on what could become. The run game got going. I know there was more confidence there, both from the quarterback, but also the offensive line. I'll be honest, when I first, you know, heard air raid was coming in, it was a little shot to the heart, you know, as a former fullback and kind of a Wisconsin traditionalist, in the fact that, you know, you're running power eye, we're running downhill. You know, we used to have defenses call out, you know, they're running right here, and we were oftentimes, but we just tried to impose our will, you know, per se, on the defense to, you know, out execute them, out tough them. So to see that shift a little bit has been it's been tough. But, you know, I had the chance to go down to a spring practice last year, I believe it was last year, and talk with Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, and I basically razzed him a little bit about the same thing. I'm like, man, I'm a former fullback here. You're taking that away, and he's. He's like, don't worry. If we got a good box against a specific defense, you know, as far as how many defensive linemen and linebackers they have in the box, the tackle box, we're going to run the ball. And we can still run the same plays you guys always ran with an H-back, with a tight end, or with a two-back running back system. So you saw that at times. You know, in that offense, though, the base thing they're going to do is look to throw the ball, whether it be RPOs, you know, quick bubble screens, quick routes, or, you know, more developing pass concepts. So it's, it was tough to see, but that's the evolution of football too, is guys spreading out the field, getting favorable boxes and getting one-on-one matchups to let these athletes go make plays.
I know that you like Coach Bielema, you know, and he's gone on to do pretty good things at Illinois. You know, it's that was one of the things the last couple of years when I watched Illinois and Wisconsin, I'm like, that's the way that we used to be. You know, that's got to be hard for you as an alumnus to see the Illini kind of playing Wisconsin football, right?
It's different. It's good for the Big Ten to see him competing. You know, there's a lot of former Badgers or people that were at Wisconsin in Illinois. So I don't think Coach Bielema's changed his mentality at all. You know, he has evolved a little bit in some of the people he's surrounded him with and, you know, different strengths they bring to the table. But it is. It's a little reminiscent to see how they're running the ball, the mentality they have, the types of kids they're recruiting, the O-linemen that they have. You know, seeing some of the stuff on social media about how they train. Clearly, there's a blueprint there that Coach Bielema had used during my time that helped him be successful, and he's implementing that at Illinois. So I love seeing him be successful. I still want the Badgers to beat him on when they play him during the season, but it's, you know, the high tide raises all ships. So it's good to see the Big Ten doing better. I think Illinois, if I remember right, struggled a little bit more this past year, but the year or two prior, you know, they're trending the right way. So good to see. And I don't know if we want to talk about this, but, you know, you look at some of the other teams coming into the Big Ten now.
It's going to be
this
different
next year. Man, different time zones, different teams that have a ton of historical success. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where things go.
Yeah, it will. With, what is it now, 16 or something like that? I don't remember.
Sounds about right.
About the number of teams.
USC and others. So, yeah, I think of the more tactical things, the time zone transitions as you're traveling and how that plays into the planning side of the operations staff with the university and, you know, class schedules and things like that. But, yeah, those are good football teams, and I think will suit well with the type of system we're running now at Wisconsin, at least offensively.
Great. We'll take a final timeout and come back with more Brady Ewing on our morning show today on a Monday.
Helping you build a better life. WCCU Credit Union feels so right.
As long as you're using convenience services, why not be rewarded for it? That's what an awards checking at WCCU Credit Union is all about. No gimmicks, no minimum balance requirements, no monthly fees. Just a straightforward checking account that now earns 3% APY on balances up to $20,000. That's right, with direct deposit, 15 debit card transactions per month, and e-statements, you too can earn 3% with the WCCU Awards checking account. For more details, contact any of our WCCU offices or visit us online at wccucreditunion.coop. Rate based on annual percentage yield and subject to change monthly. WCCU is federally insured by NCUA.
Helping you build a better life. WCCU Credit Union.
Gunderson Bascomel Area Hospital and Clinics proudly welcomes family nurse practitioner Karen Lomas to our growing primary care team. With local roots and a diverse nursing background, Karen is passionate about helping patients reach their health goals through personalized care and support. Visits with Karen include wellness exams, women's health, acute illnesses, and management of chronic medical conditions. To schedule an appointment with Karen, call Gunderson Bascomel today.
Wisconsin's forest landowners cut timber from their land for a variety of reasons. The timbers mature. Some plan a harvest as a part of a management plan. For others, the harvest may be a salvage operation in response to an unexpected natural disaster like a fire or windstorm. Landowners have trusted Meister Log and Lumber since 1936. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call today at Meister Log and Lumber at 608-434-4413.
Brady Ewing, our guest on WRCO Radio, as we talk football and life skills and lots of things. Any stories that come up in terms of, you know, maybe put them in the book someday, the Brady Ewing book? Some funny things that happened behind the scenes at some of the levels that you played at?
I tell this one when I get together with, you know, people or they ask, so maybe you've heard it before, maybe others have heard it, but people always ask, like, you know, what's your favorite memory about playing at Wisconsin or, you know, with the Falcons, whatever. And so for Wisconsin, you know, you remember the big games, no doubt, you know, beating Ohio State at home and, you know, when they were number one, people storming the field, all that fun stuff. It's awesome. But for me, and I'm wired a little differently than a lot of people, but I remember the little things through the journey. And one of the things is during the winter program, you know, this time of year, you're usually going 6 days a week. So you're Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, usually lifting, Wednesday, Saturday, usually doing some sort of conditioning, mental toughness, competition type drill. And usually that was when I was there really early in the morning. So, you know, 5:30, say start time. And anytime somebody was late, they would bump it up 15 minutes. And so, you know, that if you were, somebody was late on Wednesday, on Saturday, it would be 5:15. Somebody was late on that Saturday, it would be 5 a.m. the next Wednesday. So,
ouch.
You get that. That's probably not early for you. I know you're on the radio pretty
well,
early.
No, I know,
but as a college
for
kid.
For a college kid, man alive.
Yeah, to get up and do something physical. So, you know, I like to tell that story. But then, you know, we were driving our mopeds around to get in and out of the facilities, get to, you know, practice, get to school, and kind of just, you know, transition around campus fairly quickly. And that continued all throughout the year. It wasn't just during the nice months of the year. So we would drive our mopeds in the winter too, but you'd put your feet down as kind of like stabilizers or skis if you were driving through snow. So I forget if it was a Wednesday or Saturday morning, but freshman year, this time of year, fresh, like 6-8 inches of snow on the ground. And we had to be in, somebody had been, you know, late the weeks before. So we had to be in at like 5 o'clock. So the plows hadn't even been out. And I can just remember, you know, guys used to wear those big ski goggles to, you know, if you're driving 20, 30 miles an hour in the cold, it can be pretty cold. So guys used to wear big ski goggles and, you know, looking around, seeing, you know, 4 or 5 of my friends, my teammates driving down empty streets with fresh snow on the ground, feet on the ground, trying to get into the stadium for, you know, early morning workout. So those are, in my mind, you know, some of the types of memories that are ingrained of, you know, you look back and you laugh. In the moment, you're like, what the world is going on? But you look back, you laugh, you can talk to, you know, guys about little memories like that. So it's not always just the awesome memories on the field. Those are great kind of, you know, high marks. You put in so much work throughout the year for those 12, 13 opportunities in college football. And you got to find a way to enjoy the process, enjoy the people you're doing it with, whether it be in the weight room, on the practice field, in the film sessions, in the classroom, in study hall. It's just, to look back at it, it was just an amazing support system. You know, people back here were so supportive. So just a ton of good memories from my time competing, getting education.
I think you have to be a little crazy to ride a bike or a moped in Madison regardless.
Yeah, there's some crazy driving going on. And those mopeds, you get honked at quite a bit because you're, you know, buzzing around, cutting around, and lane change and things like that. So you definitely got to be careful.
No doubt. And it's always colder in Madison too, it seems like, in the wintertime.
So. It is. Yeah. You got the lakes there and yeah, good memory. So we were just at the basketball game yesterday, took the family down there to the Purdue Wisconsin game.
Oh, okay.
Drive on the lakeshore path and look down over the lake. Just a ton of good memories of buzzing around there on mopeds and telling stories. So
sure. Your four boys, you know, they're all active, very active. They kind of look like little Bradys to me when I'm looking across there.
They got better hair than I do, but they're, yeah, you can definitely, you know, people that maybe we haven't seen for a while, they definitely, you know, when they see my boys, they're like, oh, I knew they were your kids before I even saw you hanging out with them. So they're little spitting images, little blonde hair, toe heads, and
a lot of energy there.
A lot of energy. Rachel's doing an awesome job homeschooling them right now, and we're enjoying that. But lots of unstructured wrestling matches in the living room, a lot of chasing, tag going on. So they keep busy, they stay physical and active.
And you're working right now, kind of traveling a little bit from time to time? And
that's right, yep. Working for a company called Kelly Supply, and we're a distribution company that supports primarily cheese and dairy manufacturers with basically anything they would need to run their plant, from packaging supplies to sanitation chemicals, safety supplies. And I work from home when I'm not traveling around visiting customers, and super fortunate to work with my dad and my brother right now, and actually Mike Hemling, who's from the Richland Center area. So just working with some awesome people and enjoying the ride.
Great. And you use some of the things you learned through sports, I'm guessing, every day. And that's probably one of the things you try to instill when you're talking to young people too, isn't it?
That's right. The adversity piece. It's like, things aren't always going to go as you plan or expect. And, you know, I live that through injuries, through, you know, people getting bumped ahead of me on the depth chart, whatever it may be. And that same type of thing happens in the working world, right? In your personal world, whether that be, you know, family adversity or opportunities that come up along with the working world. So, you know, I find myself when things come up, I tend to put my head down and try to work harder. You know, that's kind of always been in my mantra through athletics, and it carries true through in the working world too today.
Super Bowl this weekend in Las Vegas. That's interesting. How much downtime do players have? Now, I understand you haven't been a part of a team that was in the Super Bowl, but you were in the NFC Championship. So do they, you know, they're grown men. How much can they watch them, especially in a city like Las Vegas?
I had saw something on social media. I don't know if it was true, but they tried to, the NFL wanted both teams to be out of the downtown area. So I don't know if that is legit, but they were supposedly each team is going to be stationed on different hotels that were like 20 to 30 minutes out of downtown. But like you said, I've never been a part of a Super Bowl, but I can imagine they have, you know, a full string of commitments. It's a lot for those guys going to the Super Bowl from, you know, handling the ticket situation. I'm sure they have, you know, family and extended relatives and other people hitting them up looking for tickets, you know, leading into that game. They're actually getting their families, a lot of them, the week leading up to the Super Bowl, out to Las Vegas or wherever that's taking place. And, you know, the media, you know, the interviews and just all that comes with the Super Bowl. It's a totally different experience for those guys, for the folks that have done it. And as far as downtime, I don't know. I would imagine, you know, they're still putting in their 8 to 10 hours. You know, coaches are incredibly superstitious, and a lot of players are too. So a lot of these folks, it's, while they have a lot of these outside distractions right now, I'm sure they're sticking to the exact same schedule they've had the first, you know, 17 to even preseason games leading into the season. Same schedule, same film sessions. So I would imagine they would have some free time. And, yeah, plenty of distractions to get tied up into in Vegas if they want to.
So. There's got to be a curfew, I would think, for players. You can't pull a Max McGee like he supposedly did before the first Super Bowl and stay up all night, you know, and show,
oh, really?
And show up for the game.
Oh, man.
I don't imagine you can do that anymore, but I suppose you could if you don't get caught. But
yeah, there's a lot of distractions out there. So in college, when we would go to a bowl game, that would be when we would travel, you know, be on site for 5 to 7 days leading into the bowl game. And we always had maybe 1 or 2 days without curfew. But then, you know, as you get 4 or 5 days out from the game, they would actually have room checks. And even when we traveled on Friday nights for Saturday games, you know, you would have somebody come by, knock on your room, you know, come in, make sure both student athletes or athletes were in the room, and, you know, just go about bed check that way. So there's always, guys can figure out if there's a will, there's a way. Some guys figure it out how to make it happen.
Were they taping the door to make sure you weren't?
No, about taping it, but you know, you can. There's stories there too. But yeah, for the most part, I'm sure those guys. It's an incredible opportunity. They want to take advantage of it, and you know, hopefully they're taking care of their bodies leading into the Super Bowl and other big games that you have the chance to be on site for a week leading up to them.
Last year you gave me a recipe for one of your favorite Super Bowl dishes. It was like a peanut butter one.
Buckeye dip.
There it is.
Buckeye dip.
That was good. Is that one of your favorite Super Bowl dishes then?
It has been the last couple of years, but I haven't made it since last Super Bowl, so we'll have to bust it out again.
It's good. Yeah.
Did you end up making it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I think I texted you that day at Super Bowl. This is pretty good. Some Buckeye dip with some pretzels to dip in there. A little
graham crackers.
Graham crackers.
That's
sure.
What you got to do.
I bet
a little more sweetness, a little more sugar in your system.
And some little wingies maybe and some little hot dogs and
oh man.
Good stuff.
Yeah, love Super Bowl food. I'm kind of funny. My family, we were together this past weekend and we were talking about, Brandon's like, everybody want to do for the Super Bowl? And I'm like, I kind of want to just, you know, relax, watch with my direct family, eat some snacks, be actually able to watch the commercials and, you know, take it all in. So
yeah,
We'll see. Not quite sure what the plans are. You got any big plans for
it? No, probably not. It may be just me watching it. I don't know. So
Holding it down
for it. There are a lot of people that are, you know, there's always conspiracy theories like, okay, that's who the NFL wanted. That's who's going to be in it. They've already